Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. An article showed up on Medscape that never would have shown up 10, maybe even 5 years ago. It's an article written by Christopher Lobos, who is an MD, followed by so many other initials that my eyes glaze. The article is entitled, "It Ain't Necessarily So, Why So Much of the Medical Literature is Wrong." His article demonstrates what is more or less a stealth movement. A stealth movement that involves two groups that normally wouldn't have that much interaction. Actually, more than two groups. One group are young researchers and academics. And the second group are the more experienced academics and clinicians. The young are important because they've been raised with a more global view. Whether this has something to do with the internet and Facebook, I don't know. But they seem more willing to embrace a broader view, an integrated view, than past generations. They don't seem to be so locked into a one-size-fits-all approach. At the same time, those at the opposite end of the spectrum know from their own clinical experience that the one-size-fits-all approach doesn't work either. When Dr. Lobos takes on the medical literature, he very nicely dissects it in easy-to-understand language. The bottom line is that we have two different types of information, and each one of them has their place, but neither one of them is superior to the other. This is a new thought for many people. For a long time, people believed that the scientific research data was the gold standard. It's what told everybody else what to do. So whether you were in veterinary medicine or human medicine or in some other profession, you religiously read your journals, found out what the conclusions were, and those were the conclusions and the prejudices and the definitions, your patients, whether humans or animals, and your work in general. But of course, as you get more and more experience and your confidence grows, you start to realize that one size does not fit all. While the conclusions of some studies enable you to get a broader picture of what might be going on with a particular patient or in a particular environmental situation, they don't give you the whole answer. And with that same experience and confidence, you can say, well, it might work for some, but it's not going to work here. Other times you might read a study, look at the size of the study sample, look at the data, and make one or two choices. One, you might look at it strictly statistically and say, well, that's a load of crap. The study population is way too small, or they've ignored critical variables here. Or you might say, you know, their conclusions fit the so-and-so's dog, or the situation that's going on in the marsh down the road, or explain how that particular zoonotic disease affected certain people in one part of town but not in another. Although Lobos' article was very readable and broke down the problems with current medical literature very well, there were two take-home points in it that I found particularly valuable for all of us, relative to all kinds of scientific studies. One, what is true for that population may not be true for any individual in it. And vice versa. What is true for any single individual in a population may not be true for the entire population. And what's true for a particular population may not be true for the entire species. The second thing that it's important to remember is that results that are statistically significant are not equal to results that are clinically significant. The real world is not a laboratory. In the real world, we're not allowed to ignore variables. You know, messy things, like how we feel about the animal or our own health when we treat the animal. So ultimately, if we want to understand a particular human-animal problem, we need to look at both kinds of information and grant them equal weight. Both the clinical, the real-world information, as well as the laboratory findings. Both what we're seeing in the individual or the situation immediately in front of us and more general conclusions from surveys and other forms of formal research. One is not superior to the other. Sounds like common sense, doesn't it? And yet it's amazing how far we've wandered away from that. But what is reassuring to me is that slowly, but surely, we're making our way back.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.